Here we are continuing along in our series of conversational expositions, and we're talking about the tabernacle, mm-hmm. the features of the tabernacle. And guys, for some, I don't know why, when you get to heaven, ask Jesus about this. Why is the altar of incense, which we're going to talk about in this section, why wasn't it described with the other pieces of furniture? Mm-hmm. Why wasn't it described along with the golden lampstand and the table of showbread? Why out of place? I don't know, but we'll talk about it right now. Exodus chapter 30, the first 10 verses, talking about the altar of incense that went inside the tabernacle. First 5 verses, Nate Wagner.
You shall make an altar to burn incense on. You shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length and a cubit its width. It shall be square. And 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns shall be of one piece with it. And you shall overlay its top, its sides all around, and its horns with pure gold. And you shall make for it a molding of gold all around. 2 gold rings you shall make for it, under the molding on both its sides. You shall place them on its 2 sides, and they will be holders for the poles with which to bear it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold.
Okay, so what we just know from these first 5 verses is make an altar to burn incense on. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
So kind of like a box again, almost kind of like the altar
sacrifice.
Sacrifice, yeah.
Well, okay, there's a few differences here. The altar of sacrifice was much bigger than this. Mm,
yeah.
The altar of sacrifice was also made out of bronze, mm-hmm. and it was roughly square. This would be sort of like a pillar. You're talking about something that's basically about 18 inches square, so it's not all that big.
Mm.
18 inches square, maybe about a meter, 3 feet high, mm. something like that.
So maybe more similar to the Ark of the Covenant, maybe. Maybe something more
smaller than that. Well, yeah, roughly. All in all, I think even smaller than that.
Mm.
But just different dimensions later.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're talking about this altar of incense. It has like the little horns on each side of pure gold. It's made of gold, not brass or bronze.
Mm.
It has the poles, right? It's constructed out of wood covered with gold. And you're there to burn incense on it, okay?
Mm.
So pretty simple. I think up on the screen right now, we've got some sort of representation of it from the model. You can just kind of see, imagine something maybe about 3 feet or a meter tall with those kind of dimensions, okay?
Mm.
So it's just something like that. And we'll talk a little bit later as to where it went in the tabernacle. But so far through the first 5 verses, all the Lord's telling us is, make an altar to burn incense on. So now, starting at verse 6, he's going to talk about the use of the altar, what they would actually do with it. David Wally, why don't you read that?
Verse 6 says, "And you shall put it before the veil, that is before the Ark of the Testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with you. Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it. A perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer strange incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, nor shall you pour a drink offering on it. And Aaron shall make atonement upon its altars, upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement.
Mm-hmm.
Once a year he shall make atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord."
Okay, so in this section, it's talking roughly about the use of this altar and where it was positioned inside the tabernacle. Verse 6 sort of speaks of its positioning. It says, "You shall put it before the veil that is before the Ark of the Testimony." Up there on the screen, we kind of have it surrounded with a blue circle or something, where it would stand in the tabernacle. So if you would enter into the tabernacle through the main entrance, right in front of you would be the altar of incense.
Before the curtain.
Before the veil,
the
curtain. So it was not part of the Holy of Holies, but it stood right before it. Okay, so that's what it is about. Now, it's an altar, so don't you sacrifice on it? Don't you put the atonement blood on it?
No, it says there that the atonement blood was only applied once a year. You shall make atonement upon its horns once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonement. So you didn't put the atonement blood, it was purely designed for burning incense.
Okay, so once a year it received the atoning blood on the Day of Atonement.
Right.
Otherwise, incense. Well, why would they burn incense? What's the whole point of that?
They're kind of like this Jamaican kind of, you know, like the Bob Marley. They put the reggae music on and burn their incense. So, no?
I'm not receiving that at all, brother.
Okay, all right.
Not one bit.
Well,
why don't you sort of reformat that and come back another time?
I mean, wasn't this idea of this a sweet incense? Later on, even in chapter 30, we talk about how to make this incense.
Yes. But, and how it was sacred.
It was sacred.
It has
formula.
Its own scent, not to be used for anything else.
And every time we read about incense, this idea of the prayer, symbolizing prayers of the people rising up to God, this fragrant aroma rising to God.
Okay, so what you're saying is that incense and the burning of incense is sort of a biblical picture of prayer?
I would say so.
Where do you kind of get that?
Well, in Revelation, we see that a lot. We have this idea of Revelation 5, we read the golden bowls of incense, which are the prayers of the saints.
Well, that's pretty plain right there. Yeah. I mean, we could talk about a few other passages, but I mean, the connection is very, very plain there from Revelation 5:8. Incense is connected, or it's a picture, it's a representation of the prayers of God's people. Mm-hmm. So, how often would they offer this incense?
Well, it says both morning and evening. Every time they tended the lamps, morning and evening, they would also burn the incense upon the altar of incense.
And by the way, in Luke chapter 1, where it describes Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, and his priestly service, that's what he was to do with his priestly service, to walk into the temple, to walk up to the altar of incense, and to burn incense on the altar. And the idea was that as he did that, he prayed for the whole nation. So, but that's what the priest would do every day, every morning, every evening, come and offer incense before the Lord.
And you speak of just the continual offering of incense. You think of what Paul tells the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing.
Yeah. Yes.
It's the continual prayer that God desires from us. And they do it continually, burning the incense, and just how we need to be in prayer.
That's right.
Continuously.
And incense, at least good incense, and I'm going to take it for granted that this was good incense, it smells good.
Yeah.
It smells good. It ascends to heaven like smoke, right? Mm-hmm. You can see it going up like the prayers of God's people. It smells good. You think, yes, this is good. Yes, this is right. It's a representation of prayer. It pleases God.
And you think it would fill the tabernacle too.
Yes.
So, in a sense, God's house was a house filled with prayer.
I like that.
In the same way it
That's
speaks
really
about
good.
In the Bible,
really
it's like God's house should be the house of prayer.
Matter of fact, we're so attuned to our sense of smell that that's like the first thing you would recognize if you were to walk into the tabernacle, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm. It would just hit you probably.
It'd fill the room. That's a great point. It really is a way to illustrate this. His house was to be a house of prayer. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they would burn this incense. The way that I've been told it would happen is they would have a censer or a pot full of burning coals. They would have some of the incense in their hand, and they would just put it on there and the heat together. By the way, isn't it fascinating? Incense doesn't smell a lot if there's no heat applied to it. It takes heat. It takes fire to make incense work. Now, how is that a picture of prayer?
Wow, I gotta have, I don't know. I'm thinking just the fire, the fervency. You gotta work through prayer, the fire of the Spirit.
Fireless prayers don't avail.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be, and look, we're not telling people to work up some,
fake, strange incense.
Yeah, exactly. Some fake enthusiasm or something like that. But what we are saying is that really anointed prayer has some fire behind it. And that's,
passion.
You put the fire together with that, and it makes something pleasing unto the Lord.
It's not potpourri prayer.
No, not potpourri prayer, right? Potpourri works without fire.
You don't burn that.
No. Yeah, forget the potpourri prayer. Forget the, the scented oils and stuff like this.
Right.
No. It's to work with fire, and it's to be the fire of a real passion before the Lord.
That's a beautiful picture.
Okay, so this is kind of an interesting altar. Now, don't you think why didn't they call it the place of it? Why didn't they call it the table of incense? Why is it an altar of incense? What happens at an altar?
Sacrifice.
Yes.
So maybe the idea here is that, hey, prayer is a sacrifice. It takes, it's a sacrifice.
How about this? Good prayer is a sacrifice.
Yeah. Sacrifice of time and energy. And think about yesterday morning, 6 a.m. We have a 6 a.m. Prayer meeting for this church. Right. It takes sacrifice. Got to wake up early, get there.
Right. Well, I think that pleases the Lord, and I think it's a great illustration of it. And, I can't ever think about our prayer life and the prayer life that God wants us to have as priests before him. And I think the altar of incense speaks a lot to that. But I can't ever leave it without thinking of Jesus' great prayer life. How the Gospels show him to be such an amazing man of prayer, and how he ever lives to pray for his people, to make intercession for them. You know, he's the ultimate high priest, is he not? Right. And offering before the heavenly thunders. Mm. Whenever we think of the altar of incense, we should think about Jesus' ongoing priestly ministry for us.
What's the deal with the, you know, it's not a place of atonement or anything like, but there is a sprinkling of the blood that's applied to the horns of the altar of incense once a year on the Day of Atonement. What's the significance
once?
Of that? Why just once?
Yeah, yeah. You could almost understand all the time.
Right.
You can understand never, but why just once? Well, here's the picture that works in my mind, and I don't know. It would be stained with blood from the Day of Atonement. Therefore, when you prayed at the altar of incense, you'd see the blood right there. You'd be reminded of it. God wants us to know we do not atone for our sins by our prayers. But our prayers must be made in light of, in remembrance of, atonement already offered. So I think of blood-stained horns at the altar, reminding of atonement that's been made, but at the same time, recognize I am not atoning for sin by my prayer. Does that make any sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like you're, I don't know, I kind of picture it, you're praying up through the blood of Christ.
Like I like
it's,
that.
It's like you're, it's like
well,
the blood of Christ
the horns
is covering,
would kind of extend
yeah.
towards
extend
heaven,
up, yeah.
towards heaven.
So it's
sure.
not, you can't approach the throne or pray to God unless you go through the blood of Christ.
But the prayer itself is not the atonement.
Right, exactly.
It may be a sacrifice, but it's not the atonement.
Right. It needs to have the atoning sacrifice for it to reach God.
And so that's why there would be blood applied to it once a year, but not all the time.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Well, that is. Okay, well, good. It's a great exhortation for us for prayer life. And then we'll come back for one more, at least in this section of Exodus, to talk about the bronze laver.